From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
I'm Jeffrey Richter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools. And we've got Jeffrey back again. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You wrote 16 books, is that correct?
Something like that, yeah.
Something along
those
lines.
Hard to keep
lines.
Track of them all.
And what's your latest one you've got coming out?
The one that's coming out in the end of November is Windows Runtime via C#.
Awesome.
Yes.
And what are we going to see today?
So as I was working on that book and the various technologies in the book, I was building an app that was really going to help me learn about the system. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to demonstrate this application to people. And the application is downloadable for free. And I guess I'll show you where to get it first. You would go to wintellect.com. Then you would click on resources over here. It is a touch screen, so I should be touching. And then my book is at the top because it's the most recent one here, the Windows Runtime via C#. And then from here, there are some links for errata, buy it, and then source code. And if you click on source code, you download a zip file that contains the source code for the book. And it also has the this tool in that zip file as well. So the tool is called the Wintellect Package Manager, Package Explorer rather. And here is I'm showing it. And one thing that I really should say first, I think, for people who are starting to learn about Windows 8 development, you know, Windows 8, if you listen to Microsoft and you read all the documentation, it's all about the apps. It turns out that that's not really accurate. It's really about the packages.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to get this too, but I had a couple of meetings, very long, like 6-hour meetings, with people on the Windows team who really explained to me that it's really all about the package and the apps are part of the package and that you're installing a package when you go to the Windows Store and that all of the capabilities, the security, the declarations is all given to the package, mm-hmm. not to the apps. Mm-hmm. So. That's why I call it the Package Explorer, and actually it caused me to rewrite a lot of stuff in the book, because as I was saying in the book, you know, your app does this, your app does this, but really a lot of it's tied to the package. So,
because it's kind of like the process is the package, but you activate an app within the package, because there's like kind of like DLLs that...
Well, let me clean that up.
Yeah.
An app is the process.
Yeah.
But the way that the process, the app, gets installed on your machine is by way of the package.
Can a package make more than one process?
So there is one package, and only one, that is allowed to have multiple applications inside it. And that is the one that Microsoft ships. If you, and it ships with Windows itself. So if you have, like the People app is part of it, I think. If you were to say uninstall this, I won't actually do it. But this package, it says if you want to install this, you'll be uninstalling the People, the Calendar, and the Mail. So there are actually three applications that ship as part of this one package. And when you uninstall any one of the apps, you're uninstalling the whole package, which will get rid of all of those apps.
But for all the rest of us,
one-to-one
relationship.
Exactly. It's a one-to-one relationship. And the reason for that is because this is apparently the Microsoft's user experience team thought that this was really awkward. That if you want to uninstall this one app, all the other things go as well. So they said it would be a better end user experience overall if it was a one-to-one relationship. Now the nice thing about these apps being in one package though is that they can share information. So they have the same app data, the same roaming. If you put account information into your Mail app, then the same account information, your username and password, can be used by the Calendar app.
Oh, okay.
Right? So that's, again, reinforcing. It's really all about the package. It's not really about the app. And it's packages that get installed, it's packages that get uninstalled, it's packages that have capabilities, security rights, and so on.
Yep.
So anyway, ended up writing this tool, which is the Wintellect Package Explorer. The first thing that happens when you run the tool is it shows you a list of all the packages that are installed on the machine. And for each package, you get the status, whether it's running or terminated, suspended state, and so on. And internally, the tool is using the Process Lifetime Manager COM APIs. The tool is written in C#, but I'm p-invoking out to the COM APIs in order to get this information. I also tell you the type of package that it is. There are several different types of packages. There are some packages that can be framework packages, which are for SDKs. For example, the WinJS is an SDK, the Visual C libraries, the Microsoft Play Ready Media is a separate SDK. So these are packages that don't contain executables. Right? So you can create some packages that are just contain additional code in them that's used by other packages, but they themselves cannot run.
Mm-hmm. Right? And do you have an icon for them? How would you uninstall them if you want to get rid of them?
They would normally install when you create a package, it would have a dependency on one of these frameworks. Mm-hmm. When you go to the store and install the package, the dependency would be installed.
Okay.
When there are no other apps, when you uninstall all apps that don't require that package anymore, then it would automatically.
Okay.
So an end user would never directly control the installation or uninstallation of a framework package.
Can you see the reference count for it in any way?
I'm sure the system is maintaining a reference count for it somewhere. But it's probably somewhere in the registry, but I don't know exactly where that is. I haven't researched that part of it. In Windows 8.1, they added these new resource packages for people who take their apps and they localize it to various parts of the world, which Microsoft does a lot for a lot of their apps. It used to be in Windows 8, everything had to be delivered as a single package, and all the resources for everywhere in the world would be installed on the user's machine, but usually a person only cares about one language. So it would be an enormous amount of hard disk-based consumption for stuff that would never go used on that user's machine.
So this is the MUI concept for runtime.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things that really motivated this was when the Surface first came out with 64 gigs, and people complained and said most of that's actually taken up by the system, so very few people actually get to use that disk space themselves. This was a feature that was added to try to free up more space on users' machines. So it's a really nice feature to have. And then you can have these bundle packages. So the bundle is like the default resources. That always gets installed. And then for whatever language you have or whatever screen resolution you have, because you might have different assets for different DPI resolutions, those would come back in separate resource files. Anyway, so I go through and I show all of these. And one that's particularly useful for software developers, main is the old kind of package for Windows 8, which is still used heavily today, especially for people who don't localize. But another package that's really useful for developers are ones that would be development packages. And oddly enough, I'm running this, and I don't see.
I think you might have page past
maybe
it.
I didn't refresh, is probably what happened. There it is. So there's a development package here. So this means that the package is registered for use on the machine, but wasn't actually staged. In other words, it wasn't installed from the store. And when developers are using Visual Studio to build applications, they will appear in here as development. And so one thing that I can do, like here on my start screen, for example, here's this app that I just created on your machine and created an icon for it here. So one thing I can do is I can right-click and I can uninstall. Actually, I guess I do that up here under uninstall. And I can say uninstall all development packages, which just gets them all off my machine. It really cleans up my machine, gets rid of all those icons on the start screen. And that was really the motivation why I built this app in the first place. But then I've turned it into much more things. So other features that the app has is it can be used to uninstall packages. So it can uninstall all the development packages or packages that have no path. Like you built something in Visual Studio, then you deleted the bin directory and everything under it. So the package is still kind of there, but it wouldn't run because you deleted the executable. This will get rid of all of those. Or you can select certain packages just to remove them off of the box. For a specific package that you have selected in the grid, you can go and launch it. So this is a desktop app launching a Windows Store app, which I also had a pinvoke app to com in order to make that happen. Mm. I can force the termination of the app.
Now, is that an OS termination or a PLM termination?
This is a PLM termination.
So it'll go via...
Right, so it'll go suspending first, right, and then it would shut itself off, yes. Open the staging folder. So if you click on this, it will go and open up Explorer and show you where on your machine the files are for that application, where the package has been installed. See, I said application, but really package is the correct term.
I don't know any other tool that can do that, because if you try navigating into the packages folder, it has list blocked on the Acl.
Yes,
so
right.
Usually you can't see what's under the folder. So unless you know the name of the folder, you can't navigate into it. But once you get to the actual folder of the actual data, like a couple levels down, then you do have list permission. So I don't know of any other tool that actually can achieve that for you, so you can actually look at your files.
Oh, well thank you. Of course, I will say you could go into a command prompt with admin privileges, and then you could see what's in that folder.
I don't think even system has access to do list in that folder. I think it's the user
work.
For it's not the package one. Whatever the user account used for package administration is, only has the Acl on it.
So that's where the package files were installed. Then whenever a package is installed, there's also a place on the disk that's created for any per user data for that package. And this other menu item takes you to the place on the hard disk where you can see AC, where that data is for you, the user. So AC stands for App Container. And this is for stuff that's used internally by Windows Runtime APIs. Like if you use the HTTP client class, it has its own WinInet cache that's on a per package basis. And its own WinInet cookies that's on a per package basis. That information is all put in this directory. So if you're doing HTTP from your app and you want to see your cookies, you want to see what's in the cache, this tool will take you right to the directory and can show you that information. Really useful for debugging.
So if a tool, if an application has downloadable content, DLC, does that end up in these folders or is that somewhere else?
No, it ends up in these folders.
And those are all separate per package.
Exactly. One of the main tenets of Windows Store applications is that whatever happens in one package is isolated from whatever happens in another package.
So if you have multiple users on a machine and they both download content, you'd end up with two copies of the content?
Yes, that's right. You do. You do.
Cool.
And this is where the roaming state goes, which actually I've written a lot of apps that use this roaming state. That is an awesome feature of the Windows Runtime APIs. It's so easy for applications to just put some data in, and then if you install the app on multiple machines, and who today isn't using multiple computers and has the same app installed, right? So, I mean, I have several machines where I install the same apps, but all the data just roams across them seamlessly. And it's a free service, and Microsoft, the APIs take care of automatically when connections come and go and the brittleness of it. So I've written almost all of my apps that are in the Windows Store, I think all of them actually, are using this roaming state mechanism.
And how's what's the technology behind the roaming? Is it SkyDrive?
It is SkyDrive. Yeah, so there's a service, a task, a scheduled task that runs periodically that can go and upload information there. And then on your other machines, there's a push notification that comes down that tells them to go to SkyDrive and download the latest content.
Cool. Do you know if it takes up your SkyDrive quota?
It does not take up your SkyDrive quota. Mm-hmm. Each package, see, I almost said app again, but it's actually each package gets 100 kilobytes for that package on for each user.
Okay.
And it does not come out of your quota.
Sweet.
Yeah. And then there's other settings in here and things like that. So this, you know, my tool is really just knows where that directory is and then gives you a way to launch into it, which I use all the time when developing stuff. For the user data, I also show that at the bottom. When you select a package, you can see at the bottom any settings that that package may have. So here is the Microsoft News app, and it has a couple of settings in here. So it has one thing that's local, and it has two things that are also roaming, so you can see the distinction between those. And then I also give a way over here where you can clear out that data. You can clear it all, just the local, just the roaming, or just the temporary. Again, when I'm building an app and I'm debugging it, sometimes I put settings in or data in, and I get to a point where I just want to clear it all out and start over from scratch.
Yeah.
So this menu item allows me to do that really for any app.
Particularly when you've rolled the file structure, right?
And yeah, exactly.
You don't want to have to deal with corruption and stuff.
Yeah, Visual Studio has a feature in it, Control-Alt-L over here, to if you bring up the debug properties for a project, I'm not used to your keyboard, so it's a little different for me. But
properties. I'm running it with C++ keys, which means Alt-F7.
Oh, okay, that would explain it. So under debug here for C#, there's a uninstall and then reinstall. Here, I'm currently under the debugger, which is making it hard to read. But uninstall and then reinstall my package. Personally, I think this should be a button, not a checkbox, because it's not like every time you run an app, you want to restart everything from scratch. It's like you got to a point in your app where you change the schema, like you were saying, I just want to clear everything out, and then I just want to restart the app. Mm. So because they made this a checkbox and not a button, I went and added this feature to my tool to make it a menu item to go and do that when I need to.
That's cool.
Some other features that are in here are copy to clipboard. I can copy the family name or the full name. So packages have an identity. There's a family name identity and there's a full name identity. The full name includes a version number and CPU architecture, like x86, ARM, or x64. The family name is just basically the name of the app and the publisher who created it. Which is another great thing about packages now, is that they have this identity as to who published the package. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Windows, you know, executables, you could just give them to whoever you want. There's no real identity associated with who created this executable.
Yeah, unless you really has signed it and blah, blah, blah.
Which is an optional thing.
Yeah.
But packages have to be signed.
Yeah.
And so there's a notion of identity. And then for package lifetime management, I give the option here to enable it or disable it. So if you want your app to not be suspended when it goes in the background, which can also be useful for debugging purposes, things like that, you can mark a package as disabling process lifetime management, and then the operating system will never suspend it when it goes to the background.
Kind of like the PLM debug.exe in the debugging tools.
Exactly. I'm calling the same COM API that PLM debug calls internally to do the same exact thing. I'm also using that. That's how I get the status information here too, which is also shown in Task Manager when you look at status. Under packages, this menu item here is about packages in general, global to your whole machine. You can do a refresh, so that'll refill the grid with all the options on it here. Or another thing I thought was really useful is what packages on my machine are using what security capabilities.
So what's the difference between a capability and declaration?
Oh, great question. So capabilities are they're security aspects. There are things that the app or the package, right? The apps within the package require access to. So normally an app cannot access the user's pictures library, the user's music library, the user's video library. Normally, an app in a package cannot access the internet at all. So if you are building an app that wants to have secure access to these secured resources, then it has to indicate in its capabilities in Visual Studio, and you would click on the package manifest file here, and then you would go to the capabilities tab. And then you indicate here what things you want. And this is setting capabilities on the package that contains your application. And then the user sees this in the Windows Store app. When the user is navigating and saying, oh, here's an app you might want to install, the store says, this app requires these capabilities. And then the user makes the decision, OK, I'm willing to grant it these, or I'm not willing to grant it, in which case they don't install it.
Yep.
So my Package Explorer over here, you go to Packages, by Capabilities, and it looks at all the packages that are installed on the machine, and it shows for each capability which packages have it. So the Documents Library, which is a super powerful capability, is currently granted to this thing, which is your thing?
Some Microsoft IT thing.
Yeah, okay, so some internal thing.
Yeah.
Enterprise Authentication, this is also a very, there are three capabilities that are considered special use. Documents Library is one, Enterprise Authentication is another.
So Documents Library is your documents like under your user profile?
Yes, exactly, right? So you have to, in order to submit something to the store that has that permission or Enterprise Authentication, you have to be a corporation, you can't be an individual.
Okay.
And they scrutinize your app very, very carefully. So they really don't want you using these, but this MSIT is apparently using it.
Yep.
But then internet capability, so these are the apps that have the ability to send information over the internet. We see Bing Finance, Bing Food and Drink. Internet client server, so some apps are set themselves up as a server, Skype app, obviously. Location means it can get your GPS position and things like that. These are the apps that require that. Which apps have microphone access, music library, pictures library, and so on. So this was just really useful too. Like a lot of times I'd be writing in the book about a certain capability and I'd want to maybe give some examples. What applications use this capability? What do they use it for? Mm. And then I would use this tool to learn about that. Declarations, I also, so you asked what is a declaration. Declarations are, for the most part, associated actually with an app and not associated with the package. And apps can be launched in various different ways. Every application has to support the launch contract or launch declaration, which is its ability to be launched from the start screen. It's impossible to install a Windows Store package that has an app in it that the user cannot go and launch, except for the framework packages. Yep. That's the only exception to the rule. But applications can be launched through other means as well by declaring them. So like background tasks is a good one, where if your application wants to have the ability to execute some code in the background periodically, the system has to be able to launch your app when certain triggers occur, like a time interval every 15 minutes, I want to go and ping some server to look for some new email messages. Or when the user logs in, I want to go and execute some code. When network connectivity comes or goes, I want to go and execute some code. So you would create a background task, declare that, you specify what the trigger is for what that would launch your code, and then the system can go and launch it.
Yeah.
There's a bunch related to files, cache file updater, file open picker, file save picker. The SkyDrive app uses these so that when the user's in some app and they want to go and open a file, the SkyDrive app declares the file open picker. That allows it to be launched so the user can go and find a file that's on their SkyDrive account. And loaded into the app of question. File type associations allows your app to be launched when the user double clicks on a file like with a .txt extension or JPEG extension, something like that. Protocol handler, I mean, probably the ones that are most popular are the file type association and the protocol. Both of these I cover in my book pretty heavily. Bing Maps uses this so that you could build an app and then you want to show the user a map of the particular location. You could do as a protocol launch to launch Bing app, to give it a latitude, longitude, and it'll position you there. And it's this kind of communication between the apps that allows it easier for you to build your own app. Because if you say, well, I want mapping functionality, I'd like to show it, but instead of building that yourself, you could just launch the Bing Maps app with this protocol handler to communicate that information across.
I think search is the quintessential example they give of all the times that if you want to search in your app.
Search is unfortunately somewhat deprecated now, though, with 8.1. It was popular in Windows 8. But in 8.1, the recommendation now is that you put in-app searching and not use the search charm anymore.
Oh, okay.
So this would activate you from the search charm, and you can still do it for backward compatibility, but it's not the recommended thing anymore. Share target, though, is, of course, one that's heavily promoted by Microsoft, so that you're in one app and you have some data you want to share with somebody else, like email it, post it to Facebook or some social networking site. Your app could say, well, I support the share target, then the user can share to your app, and that will launch your app to accept the share data, and then you can post it. So that's what declarations are about, is other ways for your application to be launched, and I added a feature here to my app where I can look at all the packages installed, and I can see which ones declare what things. So there's an app that can be launched because of adding a calendar appointment is, of course, the calendar app. So this is the friendly name of the app, and then this is the full name of the package. So the actual name of the package is, you know, Microsoft Windows Communication Apps, then it was version 17.5.96.100. This is built for an X64, and then there's a 13-character publisher ID, which is a base 32 encode of the publisher, is what that is. But it indicates Microsoft is the publisher for that. So removing an appointment, replacing an appointment, showing time frame, these are all calendar-related contracts, but these are apps that can run background tasks periodically on your machine. So if you ever said to yourself, so you know something's using battery power, what could be using battery power on my machine? It would be running a background task, and then you could see which are the background tasks, and some of these have system events. Timer always can run on battery power, so the weather app can periodically update itself even when it's on battery power. Skype, of course, runs in the background. The calling app over here, some contact stuff over here. Anyway, it shows you all the, this is a big one, what's this one? Windows launch. All packages have to support launch except for framework packages, so they would always be listed here. You don't have to declare that explicitly because it's always implicitly there. And then a bunch of others. So that's basically what my tool does. It just kind of shows you everything that's happening on your machine and the different directories. You can sort by any of the columns, you know, see what path it's at and so on. And
awesome.
You know, and all that.
And will the source code for this be available or just the EXE?
As of right now, I've not made the source code available because I had to do a bunch of hacky things. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that's in here that Windows doesn't natively support. For example, getting the display name and the vendor as strings, I have to grovel through the various locations of the registry to go and find this information. So it's not, I'm not doing a fully documented thing there.
Yeah. Sure.
It does not fully support it. So I'm a little hesitant to give the source code out. But I might consider doing that in the future.
Okay. Sure. Well, thanks so much for showing us this today.
Thank you.
That's the show for this week. If you have questions, you can write us at defragtools@microsoft.com. We'll see you next week.
Have a week.
Bye-bye.